Hey, this is a good-looking crew. All right, this is great. I'm gonna segue over to the side here before we get started. Happy Easter, everyone!
Happy Easter!
Hey, you know, Easter is just an amazing day. It's a day that we really remember what Jesus did for us in His sacrifice. It's also a day that we really celebrate that He rose from the dead and really proved that everything He said was true. You know, the most amazing thing He said was going to happen, happened. And everything else that He said is really true. So this morning, what I want to do is we're going to talk some about how Easter really impacts our lives. But I'm going to start back. If we could go to this first slide with the verse, about 600 years before Jesus came, God said this through Jeremiah. He said, "Then you will call upon me and come and pray to me. I will hear you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. I will be found by you." You know, God desires to be found by every one of us. It's really deep in the heart of God. What He says is you have to seek Him. You have to come to Him. And He says He'll really listen. And now I want to fast forward to about 30 years after Easter. Let's take a look at what Paul said in his message to the folks in Athens. Let's take a look at Acts 17. "And he made from one man every nation of mankind to live on the face of the earth, having determined their appointed times and the boundaries of their habitation, that they would seek God, if perhaps they might grope for him and find him, though he is not far from each one of us. For in him we live and move and exist." You know, God is not far from each one of us, but sometimes it's kind of elusive how you can connect to Him. We live, and what Paul says is that we live and we move and exist in Him, and that He really wants us to seek Him and find Him. Now, this finding of God is really a mutual finding. It's, you know, as we find Him, the experience we have is Him finding us. And so really when we find Him, it makes a connection between us and Him. And so today what I want to do is I want to speak about just how important Easter is in really making this connection happen. And to do that, I'm going to do three things today. And that is, I want to talk about the problem, an issue that we all face. And I want to talk about what Jesus did on Easter and how it intersects that problem. And then I want to talk about how we really can engage with the good news of Easter to really be found by God, to really be found by Him. So that our lives are really impacted. So our lives are really changed. So that's what we're going to do today. Now, I'm going to jump right into like the problem that we really all face. And this will become more clear as we keep talking here for several minutes. But all of us have this propensity to hide, to kind of pull back and withdraw into ourselves, for all different kinds of reasons. It could be we've been hurt. The world is a hurtful place. And we tend to really hide and pull back and withdraw into ourselves. We tend to hide who we are. We tend to hide what we struggle with. We tend to hide what we've done. We tend to hide what we're doing. We tend to hide the questions that we have. We tend to hide the things we can't figure out. And there's almost like this, there really is kind of almost a shame component. We feel like we can't really come out and let people know that we're struggling, or let God know we're struggling, because, you know, we're really supposed to know. We're really supposed to have things figured out. And so this is something that we deal with. But why do we hide? You know, just through my observations in my own life and observations in people that I know, I think by hiding and withdrawing into ourselves, we can step into a safe place where we can just be us. We can withdraw into a safe place to just be us. Well, the problem with that is if if everyone withdraws into a safe place to just be them, is there's desires in our hearts that can never be met. One of them is, as I kind of walk through some of these, you know, we want to be a better person than we are, but it just seems out of reach. And when we isolate ourselves, it is. We want to belong. We really want to belong. But we feel lost. And when we isolate ourselves, we are. We really want to be accepted as we are, as a work in progress. You know, someone who's trying to figure things out. We want to be accepted right where we are, but we feel this fear and shame about opening up to others, and we hold back, we isolate ourselves, and we can't get there. So that's what I want to talk about today. Trust me, this is going to be an encouraging message. You know, it's like, you're like, yo, is he just going to talk about this? No, no. We're going to talk about more. But as we go into this talk, I want to ask this. Has any of you seen the Broadway show or the movie Dear Evan Hansen? There's a few that have come out. I know one is very vocal about it there in the back. You know, it's a musical that I've really come to really enjoy and really like. Now, there's another musical that came out a few years ago called The Greatest Showman. Anybody know that one? All right. So I had no desire to see that. I'll be honest, I had no desire to see that movie. None. But my daughter Molly asked my wife and I to go see it with her. And so we went to see it. You know, I'm in there like, well, 2 hours, I'll never get back. So anyway, I just, I step in and I'm more of a, you know, if there's no gunplay, I'm really not that interested. And so anyway, the show starts, and I mean, I was moved by the songs. I mean, I was moved. I was like, you know, I may have to step in the back because I'm not going to be able to handle this. But I was moved. I was not expecting that. Now it's one of my all-time favorite musicals. Well, the guys who wrote the song for The Greatest Showman are the same ones that wrote the songs for Dear Evan Hansen. And these guys, I would love to meet these guys because they have this ability to put their finger right on our common experience. They got this ability to put their finger right on the things that we all deal with. And I want us to take a look at a clip from Dear Evan Hansen. And if anyone knows me, you knew you were going to see a video clip this morning. So I want to take a look at this video clip. The story of Dear Evan Hansen is about Evan Hansen. He finds a way to come out of hiding and become known, to really be found. And so that's the real premise of the movie. This clip is really when Evan is standing in front of an auditorium full of students, and he has to speak to them. And being someone that really struggled with public speaking early in my life, I could totally understand, I could totally relate to this. But he has to come so far out of hiding to just do this that he's completely overwhelmed by fear. He's shaking like crazy. He stands, as he walks out, he comes out to this auditorium. It almost looks like he's coming to face a firing squad. I mean, it's just, he's petrified, and his hands are shaking, his voice is shaking as he begins to read his notes and try to give his talk. He looks into the crowd, and he sees people beginning to laugh at him. And some of them actually start taking their phones out to take video because they go, this is going to be funny. And they start videoing him because of how awkward he is. And then things get worse. He gets so rattled that he starts reading the wrong notes. He gets his notes in the wrong order. And then he's rattled about that, and he drops half of his notes. And he reaches down to pick up his notes, and he knocks over the mic stand, which falls and makes this huge noise. And now he's on his legs and his hands and knees, and he's just completely overcome with fear. And he looks up, and he sees one person with a reassuring look, reassuring him. And he steps up, and what he does is he gets up and he starts to share what he hopes could be true. And that's the clip I want us to watch right now. So this is Dear Evan Hansen. Take a look at this, and I'll come back.
Have you ever felt like nobody was there? Have you ever felt forgotten in the middle of nowhere? Have you ever felt like you could disappear? Like you could fall and no one would hear? But see, the thing is, when I looked up, Connor was there. That's the gift he gave me. To show me that I wasn't alone. Nobody is. That's the gift that he gave all of us. I wish we could have given that to him. So, Let that lonely feeling wash away. Maybe there's a reason to believe you'll be okay. 'Cause when you don't feel strong enough to stand, you can reach out your hand. And oh, someone will come running, and I know they'll take you home. Even when the dark comes crashing through, when you need a friend to carry you, and when you're broken on the ground, you will be found. So let the sun come streaming in, 'cause you'll reach up and you'll rise again. Lift your head and look around, you will be found. You will be found. You will be found. You will be found. You will be found.
Have you seen this?
People started sharing it, and now, I mean, it's everywhere.
This morning, it only had, like, 30 views.
Well, how many does it have now?
722.
2,326 views.
14,359.
I don't understand what happened.
You did.
There's a place where we don't have to feel unknown.
Oh, my God.
Everybody needs to see this.
And every time that you call out,
you're a little late.
I can't stop watching this video.
17 years old.
If you only say the word.
Take 5 minutes.
It'll make your day.
From across the silence, your voice is heard.
Oh. Share it with the people you love.
Repost.
The world needs to hear this.
Beautiful tribute.
I know someone who really needed to hear this today.
So thank you, Evan Hansen, for doing what you're doing.
I never met you, Connor, but coming on here, reading everyone's posts.
Evan is exactly right. We are not alone.
We are not alone. None of us.
None of us are alone.
Life.
Especially now, with everything you hear on the news.
Light. Cheer.
Repost. Forward.
Thank you, Evan Hansen, for giving us a space to remember Connor.
Thanks to Evan.
Thanks for
helping my mom.
Thank you, Evan Hansen.
Vermont.
Tampa.
Sacramento.
Michigan.
Just reach out. Thank you, Evan.
This is about community and friendship.
Thank you.
Thank you, Evan.
Watch this video. Is everything.
Thank you, Evan Hansen.
Kind of abrupt end. Guys, I get very moved. I get very moved by that image. Because it captures. I resonate with that. I think it captures that all of us resonate with that. It just shows all the different people that heard that resonate with the fact that they want to be found. They want to be known for who they really are. I know, you know, there's some phrases in that song that really resonate with me. You know, have you ever felt like nobody was there? I may need a tissue. I'm obviously not able to handle being up here. Have you ever felt forgotten in the middle of nowhere? Have you ever felt like you could disappear? Have you ever felt like you could fall and no one would hear? When you need a friend to carry you, when you're broken on the ground, you will be found. It's a real picture. You know, the two big phrases in the song are you are not alone and you will be found. This is right where we live. This is right where we live. This is right. If you want to scratch where we itch, this is where we need scratching. But, you know, this is a beautiful picture. But it's not possible without God. It's a beautiful picture. It's a great picture, but it's not possible without God. The reality of our world prevents this from happening without God. And the reason, a couple of reasons I'm just going to throw out there. One is just the sin in our own lives. You know, in this clip, Evan was lying. I'm not going to give away this movie. You can watch this on your own. Evan was actually lying in that scene about several things, and those lies went on to hurt people in really damaging ways. We do things that hurt other people. We do things that we wish we hadn't done. We do things that we wish we could take back. Those are just things that we're dealing with. Another thing that gets in the way is just the sin done to us and the sin that's around us. There's an old adage, hurt people, hurt people. You know, we do things that hurt other people. And the reality is the world is not, sometimes just really not a fun place. In fact, all the time, depending on where you're at. I did a search on Google. I just did a search going, you know, why do we hide ourselves? Hide who we are. And one of the things that came up, I want you to pull up on the screen behind me. I found this on a message blog where someone, I think, was just very honestly answering this question. They said, you know, why don't I want to be around people? Because people hurt. Because you need alone time. Because you have trust issues. Because you've tried and no one really cares about each other, so you have to withdraw your love and your care. Because you give so much, you're burnt out and need to heal and fill yourself up. Because if you were around people when you're angry, you would hurt everyone around you and would rather isolate yourself than scream at everyone. Because you're so tired of seeing how heartless most people are. Because you're sad, depressed, heartbroken, looking for a reason to live. Because you're healing, because no one understands you. Because. Only you know because why. I bring that up and this is the part of the talk I've been looking forward to. This is the place where Jesus and what the good news of Easter intersect our world and intersect what we're talking about today. Is what Jesus did through his sacrifice on Easter, what it did is it created a safe place. A safe place for us to come out of hiding. It's a safe place for us to come out of hiding. This is the safe place that we've been looking for. Trying to withdraw into yourself for a safe place, it just doesn't work. You just have to look at the world around us, and that's just proven out. It doesn't get you to where you want to be. So knowing that safe place that he was going to create, there's one big invitation that Jesus made over and over again. If you read through the biographies of his life, he makes this invitation over and over again, and it's simply this. Come to me. Come to me. You know, when Jesus says, come to me, he's inviting you to step into that safe spot, that safe place, to really get to know him for who he really is. And really understand and get to understand his love for you And how when you step into that space, you're not stepping into a space of condemnation. You're not stepping into a space of evaluation. You're stepping into a space of someone who cares so much for you that he would die in your place. I mean, that's the person. And he wants you to be able to come in the safe place and be able to get to know him for who he really is. But one thing, we are concerned sometimes because we think if we were really to open up and really to step in that space that God would condemn us, he'd find fault, he'd be disappointed in us if we really came clean with him. Well, let's take a look at what Jesus said to a Jewish leader. It'll be up on the screen. This is in John 3:17. It says, "For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him." Not to condemn the world. Jesus didn't come to condemn us. He came because of the condition the world's in, the world we're living in. He came because of that to save us out of it. And, you know, if we really take him up on that invitation to come to him, to step into that safe space and open ourselves up and who we really are with him, then we'll really get to know him and we'll begin to put our trust in him. We'll begin to believe in who he is to the point that we actually have to act and put our trust in our life into him. That Greek word that's translated saved in John 3:17, it's often translated in the New Testament as healed. The same word's used in two different ways. And salvation is a kind of healing. You know, one thing that the person said in that blog is they need some time to heal. Well, that's really what God wants to do, is he wants to really heal us. And the way in, you know, Jesus talked a lot about repentance, and it's a common word you'll hear a lot in the church, but repentance, you know, it's changing your mind and deciding to go God's way and make him the boss and really follow him. But repentance is more than just pleading for mercy before a judge. It's really opening your wounds to a physician. It's opening your wounds to a physician who not only cares for you, but really knows how to help you. And, you know, sometimes, and so, you know, as you think about that, we've been talking about this, God and Jesus moving towards us. Sometimes we think a lot about what God does to move towards us, but it's easy to forget the part that we have to play. To make that connection. You know, Jesus has created that safe place, invited us into it, and he knows how to help, but it's really up to us how we respond. And there's a phrase that if you walked away today and the only thing you remembered, you know, Jeep said something funny, and then he said this. This is what I want you to leave with. You guys look up on the screen. If you want to be found, you have to come out of hiding. If you want to be found, you have to come out of hiding. And that can be a scary thing for us. If you want to be a better person, if you want to belong, if you want to be accepted as the work in progress you are, then you have to come out of hiding and come to Jesus. It's about coming out of hiding into really an arena of acceptance and really leaving behind the shame and the fear and the sin and really stepping into a healing environment and really just connecting with God and the things he would like to do to really help you. To really step into this, you have to face who you really are. You have to face really what you need help to change with. You need to face some things. There's a quote by James Baldwin. He's a civil rights activist from the 60s. I want to take a look at that. He said, "Not everything that is faced can be changed, but nothing can be changed until it's faced." And I think he's right. We have to face ourselves, step into that arena with God, and really get some help. Now, some of you know that I'm the chief of our engineering division in the Army Corps of Engineers. We do flood control work. And there's a project that we built in the city of Norco about 20 years ago. That we built it, and there was a delay in turning it over to our project partner, and a big rainstorm came and really damaged it. And so we had to repair it. So for about 10 years, we asked for money from Congress because we can't do anything unless Congress gives us money. And we never got any money, and so this project just stayed in this state of disrepair, and we couldn't really do anything with it. And then about 10 years ago, 11 years ago, I was a project manager at the time, and I got to really enjoy the privilege of taking this project over and try to finish and get it finished. And, you know, it's really hard. You ever tried to buy dinner with no money? You just can't do it. And that's kind of like the situation we're in. We just kept beating my head on this rock over and over again. After a couple of years of attempting several ways to get funding, I stepped back into engineering division, and I did not mind stepping out of that project. But that project began to recede from memory. It began to be hidden in our organization. And it would come up every once in a while, but it's uncomfortable, but we just kind of recede back. There's no way to solve it. Well, February 6th, you guys remember the big storm that came through, record-setting rain? Well, you can imagine what happened on that project out in Riverside. It actually got damaged more, a little more dramatically. Still not, no life-threatening situation, but, I mean, it was just like, we went and did a trip report. There's some real problems out there. And the general that leads the Southwest Division, that we call it South Pacific Division, of the Corps of Engineers got wind of it, and he says, well, why haven't we turned this over? Like, we told him the story, and he wasn't as compelled by that story as we had hoped. And he said, you got to fix this. And then he got a hold of headquarters in Washington, D.C., and over the past several weeks, we have been working on a plan of what it would take to repair it and finish it and turn it over, and the federal government can then step away from it. And it looks like, with the federal government, you can never know for sure, but it looks like we might get funding here in the next few weeks. And, it's like the problem that can never be solved is solved. But, again, I'm speaking things into existence. I am hopeful, though. Well, that project, that was an issue for years. That was an issue for years. And hope was really given up that something could be done. It required resources and help that were beyond our ability to provide. It would come up once in a while, but we just kept stuffing it back down because we didn't know what to do about it. And then finally, enough damage was done that it had to be faced. It had to be faced. I'd like us to think about our lives this morning. Think about your life. I'll think about mine. Is there something in your life that you've given hope on changing? Is there something that's way beyond your ability to change, which for me is almost everything? Does it come up often, but you have to just keep stuffing it back down? Is there something that's just kind of hidden away? Is there something that's causing damage to you or to your relationships or to the world around you? Is it weighing on you? Well, I'd like, as we think about that, what would Jesus say to us? And I'll take a look at Matthew 11:28-30. I think this is what he would say to us. He said, come to me, all you are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. I think what he would say to us is, come to me. Come to me. And what he's doing in this passage, I think he's describing the safe place that he created. Come to me in the middle of where you're at. Come out of hiding and open up to me. Let's face this together. You're not alone. You are not alone. Let's go into life together and handle this. We'll deal with what concerns me. We'll deal with what concerns you. But let's hitch up. And let's do this thing together. I think that's what he's saying. And then he says, learn from me. Learn from me. It's really at the heart of who he is that he really wants to help us. He says, learn from me, for I am gentle. I think, he cares about you. He cares about me. He really cares. And so he's not going to come in lambasting you with something. He's coming to you with ideas and solutions and help. I am humble. He said, I am humble. I think he's approachable. He's trying to communicate. He's approachable. He really wants to help. And that's really what he wants. In fact, I think if you could put it down in a synopsis, what Jesus really wants most from each of us is to come to him, to become convinced of his love for us, to learn from him, and then to follow him. And then that will lead to change and we'll become more like him. And we begin to tap into the life that we wanted, the belonging that we wanted. So one last quote from Jesus I want to take a look at is John 7, 37 to 38. On the last day of the feast, the great day, Jesus stood up and cried out, "If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water." If you're thirsty, I think what Jesus is saying, if you're thirsty for that life you want, if you're thirsty for a life that has meaning, thirsty for the help that you need, he said, "Come to me and drink." And then he says, "From your innermost being shall flow rivers of living water." There's an overflow in your life. As you connect to God like this, there begins to be an overflow in your life where you really begin to impact the lives of other people with the way that he's impacted you. And that brings us back to Dear Evan Hansen and the picture that we saw with Dear Evan Hansen. You know, I said it wasn't possible without God. There's a line in that song that says, "You can reach out your hand. Oh, someone will come running, and I know they'll take you home." That someone, they, I don't know if they knew they were talking about it in the song, but that someone is God. That someone is Jesus, like we've been talking about. If individuals come out of hiding and are found by God, like we've been describing, then they can find others. Found people can find people. Found people can find people. Found people are the ones who come running when someone else reaches up their hand. Found people are the ones who find you and carry you when you're broken on the ground. When you found people are the ones that when you fall, they're the ones who hear you. Found people are the ones who really change the world. And this is a, it's really this picture, the picture that we've been painting and the picture of from that clip in Dear Evan Hansen is really a picture of the community of people that God is creating. It's really a great picture of really what God would hope to become a reality in our world, where people really do care for one another and they can actually come out of hiding and they'd be found by each other. That picture is really a name for our community here in our church. That's really what we desire as a church, is to have that kind of community. What Jesus had in mind with the safe space he created on Easter, what he had in mind is that would expand through a community of people who cared about each other, and that there'd be a real unity with them. And our community, we're really working here, our community, to be a safe place like that. And so community itself is a safe place for people to open up and to be found. So this morning, as I've been talking, maybe God is drawing you to step out and to come out of hiding in some way and really come to Jesus. This could be a very pivotal thing. If you really listen to that and really engage with that, it could really change your life. And I would encourage you to really respond to that. And so as I close, just know, how do we respond? How do you respond to that? Well, I just got a few ideas here that I'll throw out. One is, you know, if this is kind of a new idea to you and you're like, "Wow, you know, I'm not sure I really understand what it is you're talking about, but it sounds really attractive. And how would I even, like, get started?" Well, I would suggest spending some time just to get to know Jesus. Read the biographies about him. Spend some time in the book of John, written by one of his best friends. Spend some time in the book of Luke, someone who investigated everything and wanted to make sure he exactly presented the truth of everything Jesus was about. And then Matthew and Mark, some close folks in the early church. There's four biographies. Spend some time in there and really try to understand and get to know who God is. Watch how he handles situations. Watch and really just kind of check out how he handles people and why he does it. And then I would encourage you to do that with someone that knows God. If you knew someone in your life that they really have connected with God, do that with someone else, because if you do that with someone else, it really helps you connect. And you can talk about things. You can really make more sense of things. I would just encourage you, if you have that opportunity, to do that. And then if you have an area that you've been hiding and it's really come to mind, you're like, "Man, I really need to step into the light with that, with God." then I would encourage you to spend time with God tomorrow. And then the day after that and the day after that. And for me personally, when I connect with God in the mornings, when I meet with him, for me it's an experience of stepping out of hiding. And I just lay all my cards on the table and I say, God, this is what I'm dealing with. And could we go into this day together? And that's if you want to know, well, what do you do every day? That's what I do every day, is I have to go engage with the day and he goes with me. I'd really encourage you making a habit of that, coming out of hiding every morning with him and just enjoying the friendship with him that he really desires. And then I would open up to someone you know that walks with God. If you want to get some input, some advice, I would encourage you, if you have someone like that in your life, to open up to them and ask them for help. And then the last thing, second to last, lean into community. Lean into community here at Church in the Valley. You know, get to know folks and let folks get to know you. And you, like I said, what we described is something we're really striving towards. And we imperfectly do that because we're all people. But I would encourage you to really lean into community and really connect. And then maybe there's someone in your spheres of influence around you that really needs to be found. Maybe there's someone around you right now and they've fallen on the ground and they're calling out. They might not be saying anything verbally. Maybe there's someone around you that needs to be found. I would really encourage you to reach out your hand and really find them and pull them up. Get engaged with their life. Help them see how they can engage with God. So with that, I'm gonna pray, and then we're going to continue the service, and then we're going to have, you guys may not know this, but there's portos out there waiting for us. And so I am very encouraged by this, and I will wait and let you all go first, and then I'll back clean up. So, but I want us to pray, and then the band is going to come back up here. God, Father, we are so grateful to you that you sent your son. And Jesus, we're so grateful to you that you created a safe place where we could really step into the light and be changed. And God, I just pray that your words would resonate with us today. And I pray that each one of us would take steps towards connecting more with you. And that we're asked questions with people we know that are connected to you to get questions answered. God, I just pray that I pray that each one of us over time would enjoy more and more of you as we get to know you. In Jesus' name, amen.